Just a little reminder to start the podcast is if you haven't clicked the follow button, pause the episode and go and follow because it really helps me grow and I want to make this channel as good as I can for you all. So this is the mouth tape. It's myotape?
Myotape, yeah.
Myotape. So it's blue. So
there's blue. The blue's the sexiest colour.
Sexiest colour.
And then you hold it down. So that just encourages those lips to stay together at night.
I feel like a fish. I don't know why. Does it look sexy? Today's episode is a special one because we've got Dean Gladstone on. Dean's purpose is to empower people to manage and influence stress for better health and performance. He has a strong focus on nutrition, mindset, goal setting, movement, and breathwork. I really admire his holistic approach to health and I am so excited for today's episode. We will be looking at ice baths, managing anxiety, the power of the breath, what we should be prioritizing if we are time poor, and Dean's tips for becoming your best self physically and mentally. Welcome back, beautiful humans. So when I was researching Dean, I have never seen a man with so many qualifications and credentials. So I am so excited to pick his brain. A couple of things that he does is he is an ice certified ice bath instructor, a personal trainer, the founder of the app Power of the Breath, and a lifeguard at my local Bondi Beach. And honestly, that's about 10% of the things that he does. So without further ado, welcome to the episode.
Thank you, Dom. I'm quite excited to be here. It's it's always good to chat with like-minded people. And
absolutely. And I feel like ice baths in particular are all the rage at the moment, and you were one of the first people to really promote it and pioneer in it. So I feel like this episode people are excited for. So I wanted to start by just learning a little bit of your journey. How did you get into ice baths, meditation, breath work?
My journey, oh my goodness, there's so many stories. The ice bath specifically, my toe got ripped off when I was living in Bali. And there's some gruesome photos on the internet.
Please insert photo here.
Yeah, insert photo. And
how did that happen?
I was on a motorbike with my three-year-old daughter. And unfortunately, I wasn't wearing shoes at the time, as you sort of do when you're living in Bali. I did have a helmet on, so I get some points. And I was involved in a low-speed accident. And unfortunately, the impact literally happened on my toe. And you can see it there. You're really close. So you can see where the toe got.
Wow.
That one got split in half and it's still ugly and swollen. Isn't
wow,
it?
Yeah.
And then that's the scar where it literally got ripped off.
Wow.
So I've only got 9.5 toes.
Yeah, so he has no nail bed on that toe.
Yeah, it's an ugly little pinky.
No.
Oh, and it really hurts when I kick it.
But still.
It's brutal. Yeah, I don't know if there's bone there or what's going on. But yeah, there's some four-letter words flying out of my mouth
with your three-year-old.
But yeah, the accident wasn't, I didn't come off the bike, but the impact happened on my toes, which were just sort of on the edge of the bike.
Wow.
The other people came off. I was very worried about my daughter. I was worried about them. And knew I was in trouble. Now, I had worked in Bali filming Bondi Rescue Bali in 2008, so I was able to, you know, but as a lifeguard, you sort of know what to do. You're like, okay, let's ring some people, make sure everyone's okay, let's go to hospital. And they were brilliant. They put the toe back on and they were like.
Wait, so the toe fell off and you had to pick it up and take it with you.
It didn't fall off. It sort of got ripped off.
Oh, so it's dangling.
Yeah, dangling down the side. It destroyed. Yeah.
The visuals are there, don't worry.
The visuals are there. Got some evidence. And they managed to sort of put it back together, put some around a steel rod and sew it back up.
I mean, it's lucky it was just your toe. Yeah. Lucky that your daughter was okay. Was everyone else okay?
Everyone else was okay. Yeah. So one doctor said, you know, it might be all right. The other doctor said it's probably not going to survive. And it wouldn't have been the end of the world if I lost the toe. It would have meant further operations and more dramas. And I'm on my dream holiday living in Bali, you know, for 8 months. You know, we'd been working to this for years and I'm in hospital and it's like, I don't want to have any more operations. What can I do? Ended up finding some work on cold thermogenesis and anti-inflammatory benefits of cold therapy and the immune benefits. And to get blood flow to that toe, we needed some anti-inflammatory benefits. So I ended up in an ice bath. And I was actually really excited to find those photos a couple of years, only a couple of years ago now, because it's almost 10 years ago.
Wow. Hmm. And I feel like 10 years ago no one was talking about it.
Yeah.
So that was you would have had to really look into research to find that.
Yeah. Well, I had a bit of time on my hands.
Yeah.
I was watching Game of Thrones and researching healing and health modalities. I was meditating and doing breath work. I was, you know, eating food. I was getting sunshine. I was doing all the right things.
Yeah.
But I believe that anti-inflammatory sort of benefits from the cold therapy really helped support it. Well, important to note, I didn't have my toe in the ice bath. It was the rest of my body.
Yes. Okay.
And
yeah,
the foot
I was wondering
was submerged,
that.
Yeah.
So I was just in Bali. I got back on Friday and there's ice baths and like hot cold therapy on every corner of every street. It's so popular then. Was it easy to find somewhere to do it?
No, it was old school back then.
You put the ice in yourself.
Yeah, going to people were driving to the server, driving to the little thing and getting 5 bags of ice and bringing them back to my tub.
Wow. Well, that's, as I always like to think, you know, it's those hard moments that are pivotal and a silver lining in the end, because now seeing the impact you have on so many people and managing pain and stress, you probably wouldn't have had that love and desire for it if it wasn't for that accident in hindsight. So
it's, yeah.
You know, you've lost half a toe there, but I feel like the rewards outweigh.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Sort of, you know, as you get a little bit older, you're almost grateful for these challenges in life and you're really able to grow from them.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to ask you, what are the benefits of ice bathing for someone who's never done it before or someone who does do it but actually isn't sure on how it works in the body?
So originally, and sort of Wim Hof was the – I trained with Wim Hof.
No way. I climbed
a mountain in Poland with Wim.
Have you done like a marathon in the ice with him?
No, I haven't
done iceberg
the
swimming?
Marathon. But when Wim was in Australia, we used to hang out and I used to work at his events. And, you know, Wim was – he was the pioneer,
so how long
I believe.
How long ago was Wim Hof and you got you training together?
I think I climbed a mountain with Wim in 2018.
Wow.
So it was after I'd already discovered sort of breath work and cold therapy, and then like Wim just started to come on the scene and I'm like, this guy's awesome. And like, and I'd already started ice bathing. I'm like, let's go and do it. And I was already a yoga teacher, so already passionate about breath work and mobility, and it just seemed like a really nice fit. So yeah, started doing sort of teaching. I believe Wim's behind this worldwide sort of fad, and fad's the wrong word, but ice bathing, it does so many things for so many people, but it's really tangible. Breath work and cold therapy are tangible. When you have an ice bath, you can feel it. You feel different. There's multiple things going on. I believe that anti-inflammatory benefit is huge. There's some talk about the anti-inflammatory benefits to the brain. So people with anxiety and depression, these can be inflammation of the brain. So they're getting relief.
Yeah. And the big dopamine hit as well.
Dopamine.
Throughout. Like I even, as someone who have done many ice baths, not nearly as many as you, but getting into it now, you just feel unreal for the rest of the day. And it's the feeling before and the feeling after that you remember, and then you get to the ice bath and you're like, wait, why did I get here again? You almost forget. And then you remember because afterwards you feel unreal.
Yeah.
And I've seen you talk – it switches on your parasympathetic nervous system?
Well, so with the breathwork stuff, I'm educating people about sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system, and this terminology is getting sort of more and more mainstream
now.
Which
is amazing.
Amazing. So with the breath work, I want to educate people about stress. And there's a whole range of benefits. And some of the breathing stuff's really simple. A lot of it comes back to some yogic styles of slow nasal breathing. So with the ice bath, we're able to educate people about reducing stress through breathing, influencing their nervous system, and then we're able to put them in a stressor. And the stress isn't a controlled one, the ice bath, and it's something they're choosing to do. So they're in control. And when they get into that stressor, then they come back and try and influence their breathing. Now, the ice bath is good for us, but we've got to, A, understand the benefits, and B, understand and relax into it so we can get the most out of those benefits.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel with the stress management, what you learn in an ice bath is that you're stronger than you think you are, and you take that message throughout your day, throughout your life.
Yeah.
And then that's what changes your life.
It changes people. It's different though. When I first started doing it, like I was the first person in the eastern suburbs to start running ice bath events. And there was no facilities that you could go and have an ice bath back then. It was sort of me on Bronte Beach or me running Wim Hof events. And then it started to increase in popularity. And at the moment, when I walk past the beaches, there's people running ice baths everywhere. Yeah. Some of them I've trained and some of them I haven't, and it's all good. I love seeing this modality out there.
Yeah. So,
and the facilities as well, like the...
Everywhere. And beautiful.
Beautiful.
I wanted to ask, because a lot of the self-dom community have never done an ice bath before, and if you were guiding someone who has never done one before, how would you go about that? What would you recommend they do to just get them in there for the first time?
Yeah, great question. First, we want to quickly check the contraindications, make sure their health is okay. So any serious medication, high blood pressure is generally, I don't want to say a problem, but generally you might discuss it with your doctor first. If people are pregnant, again, potential contraindication. Raynaud's disease, people with poor circulation, anything that people are concerned about may be a good idea just to check with your medical advisor before you go in. Now, for people that are really terrified of it, they might want to start with a cold shower and build their way up. But having a coach or someone to support you through it, if there's a facility where someone can guide and help you, that's really going to empower you to get through that cold therapy. And just aim for something simple and achievable. I like to get people in for 2 minutes, get them to relax and smile, and then we clap and cheer. And if you get out after 30 seconds, that's fine. Just come back and try for 45 seconds next time.
Yeah, and I did... listened to an episode recently on a podcast. It said 2 minute range is very safe. So if you're thinking, oh, I can't do it, like that 2 minute mark, nothing bad can happen to you.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And as well, you're guiding people and you need to make sure that everything is safe. And I feel like at the 2 minute mark, you can be sure of that, which is really important.
Mm.
Well, at the moment, my mum, she's actually battling stage 4 cancer. Mm. And so obviously inflammation's at the top of mind. And we try to get her in the ice bath. She just put her legs in to start. Mm. But now the one we're getting today, actually. So funny that you're on the pod and we're getting an ice bath today. But you can change the temperature from 3 degrees to 40. So we're going to start with her at like 13 and then drop it down. Which I also think if you can go to a place that has ice baths that vary in temperature, you don't always have to start at a 3 degree or 4 degree. Like 9 or 10 is still cold, especially if you've never done it before.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start.
I actually set mine to 8 degrees now. I don't like it as intense. Like a couple of years back, I wanted like it icy and cold and I wanted that shock response. Now I'm like, less intense is more for me at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. If I just as a personal question for my mom, what tips can I do to help her get her in from a breathing point of view? What breath should she be doing?
Yeah, so breathing through the nose, alone will activate that parasympathetic nervous system.
So no mouth breathing. Mm.
So slow breathing is best done through the nose. Filters the air, slows the breathing down, gets us breathing less and gets us breathing diaphragmatically. So diaphragmatic breathing is relaxing. So that nose breathing will get you most of the way there.
Okay.
With
that's a great tip.
Down regulation. And if you're aware of it and can understand it and maybe even put your hands on your body and just breathe in. People talk about longer exhales can be really powerful. But again, we're just getting people to slow the breathing down. And so the vagus nerve, everyone talks about the vagus nerve, big parasympathetic nerve, wanders through our hearts and lungs. The feedback from the vagus nerve, 80% of it goes from our body to our brain. So when you're breathing nice and slow, and your head's going, oh, no, I can't do this, your body's telling your head, hang on, everything's okay down here. I don't know what's going on up there, but yeah, we're good down here. So just settle down.
Yeah. And that's what's great. It gets you into your body. and out of your mind when you get in the ice bath. It is really special.
And then hopefully if you can get your mum through one or two, I'd be curious to see how she gets on.
Yeah. Well, we're doing the saunas at the moment. Mm. She's actually amazing at the saunas. So I'm excited to introduce her to both because I think as well in modern medicine it's not spoken about as much as it could be. And I really want to try all the options. So
well, the research on sauna is absolutely amazing. I'm not specifically sure on the research of sauna and cancer, but this research on sauna, and mostly done on men, unfortunately, is phenomenal. There's 20, 28-year studies, all-cause mortality down 50%, heart disease down, Alzheimer's down like 60%.
Yeah.
Like it is amazing. Yeah. And potentially for your mum that can't exercise at the moment.
Exactly.
Being in the sauna and the ice bath are going to simulate some of those benefits that she's missing out on from exercise.
Yeah.
So that detoxification must be amazing for her, particularly if she's been through radiation or chemo or is still continuing to go through that.
And it's also just how she feels mentally afterwards. And I think taking note of that, she feels good when she steps out of there and she does her cold showers. She's committed to the cold showers, which I think is a good entry point, as you said. So she's definitely doing all the right things.
Yeah, well, the cold showers are harder for some people than the ice baths.
Yeah. I find the cold shower so hard because ice bath, you're in and you just stay. But that, it's like, I don't know, the movement of the water, I find it really hard.
Well, no, there's some science behind it. So being in a body of water simulates that parasympathetic nervous system, that relaxation response. Having cold water spurting in your face, there's no relaxation response by that. I actually sell this horrible device. It's called an Ander Arctic, and you fill it with ice and you strap it in your shower. It's brutal. It's heaps harder than an ice bath.
What? So can you explain what happens?
So a guy years ago, you know, the ice bathing community, people used to fill like their colanders with ice and strap them up in the shower to attempt to get cold because it's quite difficult to have before all these ice bath machines came out, you used to have to buy, you know, I put 50 to 60 kilos of ice in a tub to get it cold enough.
A lot of people also don't have a tub.
Yeah, don't have a tub.
It's like a luxury to have a tub.
So getting cold with this little ice shower that is just, you only need a kilo of ice and you put it up and it's that resilience thing. It's that doing something difficult first thing in the day that sets you up for success.
Yeah, brilliant. I love that. Okay, I'm going to give it another go after this episode. So I wanted to touch on breath work. It's clearly having a big moment at the moment. Everyone's talking about it. It's linked with ice bathing, of course, as you just said, the nasal breathing is amazing. What are some of your favorite styles of breath work that you incorporate every day or in your routine?
So yoga changed my life. I was an asthmatic. I had learning difficulties as a kid. I was a mouth breather. There's a whole range of reasons why we can't sort of pinpoint these things. I wasn't breastfed as a kid. My nutrition was pretty poor growing up. But, you know, I don't think my parents didn't do that intentionally. They just didn't know any better.
Everyone did the best they could at the time.
Yeah, they did the best they could. Mum was young. The yoga changed my life. And again, sort of regulated, slow nasal breathing was sort of starting to give me what swimming gave me in terms for my fitness. And it was interesting. I was doing less but getting more from it. And so, yoga really changed my life and brought me potentially to where I am now. As a lifeguard, we'd have to deal with some pretty hectic stuff. So again, sort of regulating my nervous system, like trying to bring someone back to life is the most intense situation. I can't even explain it. If you could bottle it and sell it, it would be the best drug ever. But you are just so pumped and you've got to try and stay calm and stay in your wits when you're doing that. So again, it's just this influence, this down-regulation of the nervous system. So that's what I sort of set to study and learn. And I've journeyed through Wim Hof and a whole range of world-leading experts to try all these different techniques. And partly, you know, as I sort of say in my bio, if I can educate people to understand it, then they can influence it.
Yeah. So if you could demonstrate a simple breath work that someone who's new to breath work, what could they do?
What could they do? So I really like slow diaphragmatic breathing. So I get people to lay down. If you're driving a car, don't do that. And I get them to close their eyes and close their mouth. And so when people lay down, like there's so many of us that are sort of hunched up, gravity just pulls their shoulders down and back. So their spine's in a nice lengthened neutral position and there's no gravity through our core. And if they put their hands on their belly and as they breathe in, they should feel that diaphragm pull down and that belly get bigger. And then as they breathe out, just let that belly relax. So it's a slow nasal diaphragmatic breath, nice and relaxed. There is a small percentage of the population that do have an inverted breathing pattern. So when they breathe in, they go like this. And when they breathe out, they sort of got it the wrong way around. So just being aware of your breath, basically it's a meditation. The anchor point is your breath as opposed to some sort of mantra in a meditation.
And how long would you recommend they do that breath for lying down?
Yeah, that's a great question. 20 minutes is fantastic, but as little as 5 minutes in some of the studies have been beneficial.
Yeah, and I always say people like, I don't have time to meditate, I'm so busy. Everybody has 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then just like anything in life, the more consistent you are with it, you'll see the benefits and then it doesn't become a chore. We actually had Luke on the podcast and he said this quote, you don't want it to be a chore, you want it to be a choice. Mm. And I think that's how it should be with breath work and meditation and ice bathing and all these things. Like let it be your choice for you to be your best self. And that's so exciting to be able to do that.
Yeah, I send people a video after we do sort of one-to-one or private sessions and I tell them it's a five-minute video but it goes for 10.
Exactly, because they're going to love it.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm not in the mood to go to the gym or train, I just go walk on the treadmill and within 10 minutes I've got energy. Once you just start moving the body, you get into it.
You've just got to start,
yeah. And from the sounds of it, you are quite into managing stress. You obviously do that for yourself. Are there any other techniques apart from breath work and ice baths you use to manage your own stress?
Yeah, well, everything's related to the nervous system. Sleep is a huge one. But again, sort of, you know, we've got the mouth tape on the table.
I'm so excited to use this. We will touch on this a bit later. But
looking at your beautiful teeth and your beautiful jaw structure, I suspect that you've maybe got a little bit of a head start on my narrow palate. Like you've got big jaw and these beautiful teeth. Like I had 8 teeth taken out and I've got a small, skinny palate and mouth.
So you think it changes – well, not think, you know it changes your jaw shape.
There was a dentist in America in the 1930s. His name was Weston A. Price and he was quite interested in the Americans – well, the so-called white Americans and how many fillings and how poor their teeth were. And the African Americans, they had these big, beautiful teeth and jaws and nasal cavities. So he travelled around the world and he was looking at indigenous populations living off the land, sort of hunter-gatherer types, and making the connection between their teeth. He was in Australia looking at the Aborigines in the 1930s or 1940s. And then he looked at the native populations eating so-called white man's food. And in as little as a generation or two, their mouths and teeth become smaller and their teeth start to rot and then they have trouble to breathe through the nose.
So it has a big impact with diet.
Absolutely.
And just our modern environment. That's so interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Once you start delving into this stuff, it's mind-blowing.
Well, my whole Instagram is showing me mouth tape. Has there been new research or why has it come to the forefront as of late?
People are trying to sell it at the moment.
trying to make money.
And as we talked about, like it was something I sort of thought about doing 4 or 5 years ago and maybe I could have made some cash, but the product that I do sell, and I do sell a product, and I never wanted to sell products, you know. I think there's enough sort of crap on this earth already. I don't want to sell a product just for the sake of it. But the product that I sell is in my opinion, the best product on the market. So that's why I sell it.
Yeah, yeah,
there
yeah.
There is a budget option as well, which I offer to people, which is you can buy a $3 or $4 white micropore tape and just tape your lips. This product actually goes around the lips. And you can,
see on the
picture, it doesn't cover people's lips. Some people get quite stressed taping their mouth shut at night. So that was sort of developed for kids.
I'll post this on the Self-Dom Instagram so you can see what this mouth. I'll actually put it on and we can have a Have a look how it looks. I mean, maybe don't do it on a first date with someone. Maybe if you're going home with a guy for a first night, don't wear your mouth tape. But third date's fine.
I can. We've done the business. We've it on, so it does work. But yeah.
For me personally, I do think I am a nose breather because just when I wake up, I can kind of tell and I've become a bit more aware. But I went to an event recently, a breathwork event, and they gave us the tape. And he said you'd be surprised that so many of people thought they were nose breathers and they're not.
Yeah. So the key one is, are you waking up with a dry mouth in the morning?
Yeah, I am quite thirsty.
Yeah, there's probably a little bit of mouth breathing in there. And then the other one, getting up, going to the toilet.
Yes. Oh.
So when your mouth drops open at night, and again, we've got no control over it, we start to mouth breathe. And this dries out our mouth and this takes us out of deep sleep. And when we're out of deep sleep, we're more likely to get up and go to the toilet. So we release an antidiuretic that stops us going from the toilet in deep sleep. So, yeah, some people notice, waking up, moisture in the mouth, less sort of more motivated when they get out of bed. You know when you get out and you're really sluggish? When you're hungover, basically, you've just been like that awful feeling.
Yeah.
Which rarely happens to me anymore.
Well, I really prioritize my sleep at the moment, and if I have to say no to plans to get a good night's rest, it's a priority for me. So I think this is the next step. I'm already going to bed with eye masks, earplugs, a journal every night. I wear blue light blockers. Like, I'm a walking ick now when I go to bed, but that's fine. I don't mind. So
my partner films me because we'll be like somewhere and I'll be running around with no pants on and I'll be using my mouth tape to cover up red lights and I'm turning fridges off. And like there's always – and then the next day I look at her Instagram and there's my little white bum like just doing something. Oh, she got me.
Well, in Bali recently I was there and I had to go to the front desk and I said, I'm so sorry, but there's a red light in the room and I can't sleep. Either it has to come off. Can you drape a towel over it? But they just turned it off. It was an air freshener that had a little red light.
And they're toxic too, those things.
But when there's a TV in the room and the red light, even just a TV in the room, I just don't love that for my sleep.
Yeah, it's brutal for me.
I'm lucky that my partner Tom is also really into getting good night rest so he can relate to it and doesn't think it's strange.
So Katie, my partner, she'd like to have the blinds open.
Absolutely not.
I know. Yeah, it's a no-no. Anyway, she's had to.
The room's at 19 degrees.
It was a deal breaker. I'm like, okay, I'll miss you. Like, we've got to sleep in the dark. And she's come around to my way of thinking.
Tom would be the same. I think he would like it open. We did stay at a place when we were away that didn't have blinds at all. And it had lights around the resort that you couldn't turn off and they put a sleep mask on the bed, but it still, to me, is not good enough. Pitch black, 19 degrees, earplugs in. I should post a photo of what I look like at night. It's shocking. And pimple cream most times, so.
I was in the Mentawais last year and it's like it's this little island, but there was these lights along the footpath and I'd be out putting a towel on the lights at night.
Surprised someone didn't video you.
Well, there wasn't many people on the island.
Call security. So you are a lifeguard. How long have you been doing that for?
Year 2000 I started. Yeah, I'm old.
Wow.
Yeah, scary.
No, that's unreal. But obviously
you see the little people, they're like doing the maths. You know, they watch Bondi Rescue and they're 16 and they're like, you've been a lifeguard since 2000 and it's like before they were born. And like there's kids watching Bondi Rescue now and they're watching all the stuff from before they were born. It's super cool.
Absolutely. It's 24 years ago now. Yeah. It's crazy. So are you still patrolling?
Still patrolling, not as much. Still involved, like to keep my hand in. I did actually went down for a swim yesterday afternoon and ended up rescuing a couple of people at Mackenzie's Bay.
That's crazy. When you weren't patrolling.
Wasn't patrolling.
Oh, thank God you were there.
It's
such a high-stress job, so it's incredible that you have all these tools. Have you taught these tools to other lifeguards? Is that something you're quite passionate about?
Yeah, so all the lifeguards come. They ice bath and they do breath work and they – well, not all of them. Some of them do.
Yeah, I think it would be so important though, especially you know, saving lives as you are, every second is so valuable.
It's funny, intuitively, like paramedics and people in these high-stress jobs, they sort of understand this parasympathetic nervous system without understanding it. So, yeah, the paramedics, when we'll be, like, doing CPR on a dead person and they're just walking down the beach. And I'm like, come on, guys, you know. But they walk, they stay calm, they write notes on their hand, yeah. they want all the details so they're clear, calm and collected to do what they need to do to bring that person back to life.
Amazing.
Mm.
I always like to bring up that a lot of people don't have a lot of time to do all these health things and it can be super overwhelming on social media. I mean, there's ice bath, there's saunas, meditation, breath work, mindfulness. It's super overwhelming and that's not even talking about all the gym classes, Pilates. So if someone only had half an hour in the morning, what should they do to be their best self? What would you recommend?
All right. I've got to ask, are these people watching Netflix every night for an hour or two?
Probably.
Probably. People turn your TV off at night. It gives yourself so much more time.
Yeah. But we don't have a TV here. We banished it. And, well, I mean, look, we're filming at our house. This is our view and we use this as our TV. But we just want to go for a walk. We go to bed early and then we wake up early. I do agree that people have more time in their day than they thought they do, for sure. Just got to become aware.
A lot of people that I work with, they watch an hour or two of Netflix every night from sometimes 8:30 to 10:30. And it's just that little bit.
What you could be doing. Yeah.
Well, they could go to bed earlier and get up earlier and find that little bit of time. So, yeah, prioritizing sleep. And you talked about it. I'm really passionate about it. It just sets you up for success.
So, but if someone did only have 30 minutes, what would you say they should prioritize in the morning?
I like to get up and move in the morning. So, yeah, walk. Get up and have a walk.
And that's fresh anyone can do it.
Yeah. Get some fresh air, breathe through your nose while you're doing the walk.
And that's moving meditation, when you're aware of your breath while you're walking. Two birds, one stone.
You're in nature. Yeah. You get it, that sunlight in the eyes is meant to be magical in the morning to sort of reset that circadian rhythm if you're struggling to sleep. So, yeah, get up early, do some exercise, set yourself up for success. Yeah. Generally it'll lead to maybe some better choices during the day, nutrition-wise.
Yeah. And that's what I always think about. It's a beautiful – you get into a flow state and you wake up early, you see the sunrise, you move your body, you've done something good for yourself, so you're probably going to make better decisions when it comes to what you feed yourself. And then maybe after work you're going to take our advice and turn off that Netflix.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think shows and movies it's 2024, they're around, but let them be a special occasion. Let them be a reward.
Mm.
So many people just put on the TV mindlessly and scroll their phone.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to watch something, put your phone away and be proactive. Yeah. But if you're watching a show, you're on your phone, you're doing all these things, you're not even getting the benefit of the show, which is just enjoyment, which is fun. So, yeah, go to bed earlier and then, walking for me, number one, still, even with all this knowledge about everything else, I think walking is number one, whether you're starting your health journey or you're in it for ages. It's just so great.
You've got a puppy now. You're committed to walking.
Yeah. I mean, that puppy's going to get walked because I'm like, I'm walking all the time. I love
They've got such good energy, dogs, in the morning. They're so happy to be outside. It's infectious.
I know. It's the best.
Yeah.
Oh, that can be our advice.
Well, yeah. Well,
Get a dog and go outside.
And, the community aspect of potentially being outside as well. People might sort of see some people, say hello, have a chat. That human connection is really important as well.
Well, I'm super passionate about people not being on their phone as well first thing in the morning. So if you can just go for a walk, even if it's 15 minutes without your phone, just keep it on airplane mode for that first 15 minutes. I think it makes such a big impact on your health because your cortisol won't spike as high. You're aware of the nature. You're aware of the barista at the coffee store. Like, these little moments create this awe and this love for life. But as soon as you put your face down at your phone, you're comparing yourself, your notifications, your emails, you've got a meeting. It can wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, they're hard.
I mean, devices. You said you have – how old your – do you have a family or
– Yeah, my daughter's 13 now, so she's got her own phone. So I'm sort of seeing the next generation come through where they're looking at it quite a lot. My son, that they love, he loves his iPad, and they do a lot of activities as well. So when I see them sometimes, they're quite exhausted from doing their sport or surfing or netball, debating. She does so much, my daughter. They're actually looking for that switch off time, which I give them, but then it's they just, yeah, it's trying to manage their sleep and their expectations around it, and they're pretty good.
Yeah, I feel like you will be the most amazing role model to your children. So,
well, I'm more disciplined on their diet and a little bit more looser with the TV, where my ex-wife, she's a little bit looser on the diet, feeds them some stuff that I don't agree with, but she's much stricter on the TV. She won't let them have devices at all or in the car or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, balance out.
Yeah, balance out.
It's a good vice. I mean, everyone has a vice. And from so many people, I think as well, I'm not a mother, so I never ever can say anything because I don't think you understand it until you are one. And so many people ridicule, on their iPhone. It's like, you don't really understand it until you are in that position. So however you do it and you have to do it, I mean, I commend you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you got to. Being a parent.
We got to do your best. Sometimes.
And just how you said with your parents, you know, everyone's just trying to do their best. Mm. I think this rolls really nicely into my last question, which is I always ask my guests, what advice would they give their younger self?
It's such a hard question.
We've had some funny ones. I'm very curious to hear what you say.
You know, because, you know, when I've struggled and had my issues, that they've been my greatest learning. You know, the learning difficulties that I had as a kid, if I didn't have them, would I have ended up being a lifeguard? And would I be here today potentially talking about what we're talking about?
Yeah. But that's advice in itself. You just got to trust the process,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, trust the process. I guess for me, finding the positives in everything. Because even, you know, my greatest... You know, potentially the worst day of my life was, you know, my greatest learning and something that I'm grateful for.
Yeah. And a lot of the greats and the people I'm inspired by would say the same thing, that they aren't where they are because they are where they are because they had to learn from the darkest day.
Yeah.
They lost a loved one or, you know, they had an accident and their life kind of went like this. And your perspective changes. Mm,
gives you that appreciation.
Yeah, I really love that advice. I think it's really important because everyone is struggling in some degree and it's like you will get through it and you will be stronger for it. Thank you so much
Pleasure.
For coming on the episode.
Let me know how you go with the tape.
Yeah, look so forward. I'm so excited to use this mouth tape. I think maybe we can make it a little self-dom challenge that we all try nose breathing. So it's only at night I wear this. I don't need to wear this in the day.
Yeah, only at night. You know, for some people they can take if you're on the laptop and working and you're starting to like, what? Mouth breathing's bad for me? You know, and a lot of people, like I didn't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people are like, oh, really? And they know they're mouth breathers, so they can potentially tape their mouth out if they're going to watch some TV or doing some work on the laptop, they can tape their mouth during the day.
Okay.
If they don't need to speak.
Amazing. Well, I'm definitely going to give this a go. And if you don't follow Dean, make sure you follow him at Dino Gladstone on Instagram and also at Power of the Breath. He has his app, Power of the Breath, which you should definitely get. And, yeah, I'm just so grateful you came here and got on the pod.
Thanks, lovely. Yeah, I'm excited.
I'm excited to nose breathe. And I will see you all on the next episode. Bye.